Good morning. Today's reading comes from Luke 7, verses 1 through 10. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion came to his friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only to speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Bless the reading and the hearing.
There's a ridiculous little story going around about a country preacher one Sunday morning where the preacher gave an invitation to come to the altar or come forward to be prayed for any healing that you might need in your life. With that, a young man got in line, and when it was his turn to be prayed for, the preacher asked him, "What do you want me to pray about for you?" He said, "Preacher, I need for you to pray with my help for healing. For hearing." The preacher put one hand on his ear, placed the other on the top of his head, and when he prayed and prayed and prayed, the whole congregation joined in with enthusiasm to try to help this young man with his hearing. After a few minutes, the preacher removed his hands, stood back, and said, "Young man, how was your hearing now?" He said, "Preacher, I don't know. It's not till Thursday." He definitely needed help for his hearing. Today's story is drawn from Jesus' ministry of healing. It begins with a Roman centurion. An officer in the Roman army had a servant who was very dear to him. Even though he was a slave, he cared for this man. The servant was critically ill. The centurion was deeply concerned about him. He heard that Jesus was teaching nearby, so he sent some respected Jewish leaders who happened to be his friends to plead earnestly with Jesus to come and heal his servant. The Jewish leaders did as they were asked and told Jesus, "If anyone deserves your help, it is this man, for he loves the Jews and even paid personally to build us a synagogue." Wouldn't you love to have that kind of man as a neighbor? He was caring towards his servant and generous to the local synagogue, even though he was not of their faith. Jesus knew this was a special individual. He went immediately with these Jewish leaders to see what he could do. Just before arriving at the house, the centurion sent some friends to Jesus to say, "Sir, don't inconvenience yourself by coming to my house, for I'm not worthy of any such honor." Can you believe this man, a compassionate, generous, and deeply humble man as well? "Just speak a word from where you are," he said, "and my servant will be healed." "I know, because I'm an officer and all I have to do is speak and my men obey. So just say, 'Be healed,' and my servant will be healed." The Bible tells us that Jesus was simply amazed. Turning to the crowd, he said, "Never among all the Jews in Israel have I met a man of faith like this." Luke concludes the story with these words, "Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well." In this story, it wasn't a centurion who was a good person facing hard times, as we talked about last week, but instead it was the servant. The centurion, this Roman centurion officer, valued him so much. And so when the servant became gravely ill, this caring man, a Roman centurion, sought help for his servant and friend. He heard that Jesus could help his servant, so even though he wasn't Jewish, he sent some Jewish friends to ask Jesus for help. Faith isn't the special province of one particular people. There are good people, faithful people, all over this world. This man was a Roman, yet he was a man of compassion, generosity, and humility and faith. He was a good man. And people like this centurion exist even today. Some are married, some are single, some are divorced. They come from all walks of life. They speak every conceivable language. They come from different religious backgrounds. They're simply people who care about other people. Robert Louis Stevenson, the great writer, was such a person. Stevenson spent his last years in Samoa, where his genuine appreciation for the Samoan people was returned with love and admiration. When Stevenson died, a group of Samoans who were very close to him took his coffin to the place of interment high upon a mountaintop. A stranger appeared at the funeral to which only a few personal friends had been invited. This man was a Scotchman who explained that some years before, Stevenson had met him on a road when he was contemplating suicide. Stevenson talked him out of it, and the man said, "I owe my life to Stevenson." The Samoan chief also counted themselves privileged to have known Robert Louis Stevenson as a man of compassion. As a memorial, they tabooed the use of firearms, any kind of gunfire, on the hill of Stevenson's grave. They said, "We want the birds to be able to sing there forever, undisturbed." It encouraged me to know that a famous writer and someone with wealth and power could also be someone of kindness and of love. Such people are found in every walk of life. Paul Stevenson, in his book Gathered Gold, tells about a Japanese magazine that had a picture of a butterfly on one of his pages. The butterfly was printed with special ink that appeared to be dull gray until you took your hand and put your hand on it, and it warmed the ink, and then it would turn into a rainbow of colors. That butterfly, I think, is a metaphor for the power of love in the human heart to help heal. That love is lived out each and every day all over this world. We certainly see it within the scriptures. The centurion sent for Jesus to heal his servant. Andrew heard Jesus preach, and he ran to get his brother Peter. Four men removed tiles from a house when they knew Jesus was in there healing, and they let the man down by ropes through the ceiling. Do you know that people like that? People with that kind of concern, that kind of caring, that kind of love. Hopefully, you yourself are that kind of person. You know, loving people, I think, has its own reward. You'll never get closer to heaven than when you help one of God's children. Jesus said, "When you did it unto one of the least of these, you did it unto me." Baseball manager Sparky Anderson discovered between the fifth and sixth game of the World Series when he was coaching the Cincinnati Reds. He had attempted to win the World Series twice and had lost. But winning it this time was not nearly so important as it had been to him before. The reason for his changed outlook was a friend of his named Milton, who lived in Southern California. And Sparky discovered that Milton had cancer and did not have very long to live. So every day, even during the playoffs, even during the World Series, he called his friend Milton to check on him, let him know that he was thinking about him. To the interviewer who was interviewing him, Sparky said, "Somehow winning the World Championship just doesn't have the same attraction for me that it used to have. Now I see what life means in a deeper dimension. And win or lose, I will have peace within my heart." There was a time when Sparky needed help, and Milton had given him a job and helped him get his start. Sparky never forgot his act of kindness. Calling his friend day after day enabled Sparky to put his own life into perspective while helping someone else. Helping another human being may be the most rewarding experience that any of us have in this life. It can almost be a purely selfish experience because helping people actually makes us feel so good. Christ tells us that kindness not only is its own reward, but it is also one of our major responsibilities as his followers. It's not enough to speak about God's love. We're called to transmit that love through concrete acts of kindness to specific persons. You know, some years ago, the readers of Charles Schulz's Peanuts comic strip saw Snoopy shivering out in a snowstorm, an empty food dish, no water. And he was looking longingly, expectantly towards the house, wanting to go in where there was food and where there was warmth. And Lucy came out and she said, "Go in peace, be warmed and be filled." Then she turned around, went back into the house and slammed the door. In the last frame, you saw a confused Snoopy looking towards the house, shivering, hungry, cold, and utterly baffled. In the third chapter of John's first epistle, we read these words paraphrased from the Living Bible. We know that real love is from Christ's example in dying for us, and so we also ought to lay down our lives for our Christian brothers. But if someone who is supposed to be a Christian has money enough to live well and sees a brother in need and won't help him, how can God's love be within him? Little children, let us stop just saying we love people. Let us really love them and show it by our actions. People loving people. That, in essence, is what our faith is really all about. Where there is hunger, we need to bring food. Where there is loneliness, bring friendship. Where there is doubt and despair, we need to bring hope and assurance. Where there is conflict, we need to bring resolution. Of course, people loving people happens because we were first loved by our Heavenly Father. This Roman centurion was a good man and many good traits, but notice, he felt unworthy in the presence of Jesus. Because he cared, because Jesus cared, we too must care, because it is our responsibility as followers of Christ. This is Memorial Day weekend when we remember those who have lost their lives in service to our great country. Pastor Scott Knowlton has an ex-brother-in-law who served 24 and a half years in the Marine Corps. One day Scott saw a post on this Marine's Facebook page. Here's what he had written. Some may ask, what is a veteran? So here's the definition. A veteran, whether active duty, discharged, retired, or reserve, is someone who at one point in their lives wrote a blank check made payable to the United States of America for an amount up to and including their own life. As we remember those who have come before us and those who will come after, we will always write that check for freedom. Christ also wrote a blank check that was payable to the people of the world, payable to each one of us. It is written with his own blood, with his own body, with his own life. He cared that much. Now he calls for us to care just as much. May you be blessed. Amen.